Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. We want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also ask that you would come and worship and study the Bible with us at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We meet at 9:30 for Bible study and again at 10:20 and at 6:30 Sunday evening and Bible study 7 o'clock Wednesday night. And we'd ask you to come to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. We want nothing from you but to show your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We hope and pray that you might take advantage of this opportunity. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find these radio programs and a host of other Bible-related material. Please give it a look. We are continuing our study of the subject of conversion. We are now talking in Acts chapter 10 this morning of the subject of the conversion of Cornelius. And would ask you to have your Bibles open. We'll begin reading in verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly a vision, an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid. And he said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up before for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Now, again, I want you to, as we begin, I want you to know the character of the man that we're talking about. Cornelius was an honorable man, a godly man, a religious man, a charitable man, and a praying man. Now, understand how this man is still not a Christian. Even though he has all these moral accolades of things that are honorable and things that we should have as Christians, none of them made him a Christian. And his alms and his memorial and his works had come up as a memorial before God. Now, what did he need? He needed to know what he needed to do in order to enter this relationship with God. How do I know that? Send for Simon, and he will be told to you what you must do. And so there's still something lacking. Cornelius, in all of his godly moral conduct and his religious pious, is still not a Christian. There's still something he lacks. But now there's another problem. Cornelius is a Gentile, and the Gentiles had not yet been received the gospel. Now notice what happens next involves Peter in verse 9. The next day as they went on their journey, drew near the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending on him to let down to the earth. And on it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice said, Rise, kill and eat. But Peter said, No, so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, What God has cleansed, you must not call common. And this was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, understand what's happening. Peter sees a vision, and this vision has to do with clean and unclean meats. And Peter acknowledges that he's not going to eat because he's never let anything unclean pass his lips in order to keep the law. But in verse 15, he's told not to call anything common that God has cleansed. Now, is he talking about animals? Is he talking about food? No. But Peter wondered what this vision meant to himself and what he had seen meant, Behold, men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surnamed Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the mess to the man who had been sent from Cornelius and said, Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house to hear words by you. And he invited them in and lodged there. On the next day, Peter went away with them, with some brethren from Joppa accompanying him. And the following day, they entered into Caesarea. Now, understand that these men have been sent from God. And now the Spirit tells Peter, don't doubt, go with these men, for I have sent them. Now, these men were sent by God, and God wanted Peter to go with them. And so he goes with them, and they come into Caesarea. Now, while he is making his way there, what is Cornelius doing? Look at verse 24. And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, called together his relatives and close friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, Stand up, I myself am also a man. Now here's another thing that I want to point out here, is that Cornelius is showing his character. He didn't just want to hear words that God wanted him to hear. He wanted his family and his friends to be able to hear those same words. It shows his love for them. Again, this speaks well of the character of this person. Now, then he tried to worship a man. He tried to worship and pay homage to Peter. Notice Peter would have none of it. Peter told him to stand up. He was also a man just like him. And again, men are not to worship men. What is Roman Catholicism doing? They're doing exactly what Peter would not accept, the Pope accepts. He accepts the homage and reverence of men that should only be reserved for God. And again, we see the fallacy of that because Peter, an apostle, directed by the Holy Spirit, refused that kind of worship and homage to him because he was not worthy. And he talked with him and went in and found many who had come together. And he said to them, You know how it's unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with one or go into one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, For what reason have you sent me? Now notice, now it's beginning to dawn on him why this vision that he was given, that no one's common and unclean, because up until this time, the Jews had no dealing with the Gentiles. But now he's beginning to understand that God had sent him for this reason. And Cornelius says that 4 days ago I was fasting until the hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon the Tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. Now, he relates to Peter what happened to him. But notice what he says in verse number 33. So I sent immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things commanded of you by God. Here is a willing audience. We want to know what God says. We want to know what God wants us to do. Here is a man that's willing to acknowledge that there's something he is not doing, and he wants to know what it is. And he's not only interested in it for himself, he's interested in it for his family and his friends. Now, Peter begins to preach in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. And beginning in verse 36, he begins to preach the word of the Lord to him. Now, in verse number 43, it says, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sin. Now, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision believed and were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles also. Now, these Jews are absolutely flabbergasted that the Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles, someone that they did not think was worthy of a relationship with God. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on them like it was on them in Acts chapter 2, and they began to prophesy speaking in different languages. And the Jews recognized that is what happened to them in the beginning. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who has received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to stay with them a few days. Now notice, can anyone forbid water? Why the water? Because they needed to do exactly what they did in Acts 2, what they did in Acts 8, what they did in Acts 9 that Saul did. They had to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And that's what they did. Now, what I want you to see here is their gift that they received was to confirm that they had received the Holy Spirit. And remember what Joel said, God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. He did on the Jews in Acts 2. He begins on the Gentiles in Acts 10. Now that prophecy is fulfilled. And they are told to do the same thing that the Jews were told to do. Why? Because the physical genealogy and physical background of the Jew or Gentile under the law of Christ is meaningless. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're bond or free, whether you're male or female, it doesn't matter to God, for we're all one in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3, 28 and 29. So what we see here is we see the same gospel is preached to Cornelius that is preached to the Jews. And so there is no advantage to the Jew or to the Gentile. Both must come to Christ in the same manner. They must hear the word of God. They must believe what they hear. They must repent of their sin. They must confess his name. And they must submit to baptism. Why would a good moral man like Cornelius need to be baptized? Because that's what God required. Why did he send for Peter to hear words whereby we can be saved? I want to know what God wants me to do. I want to know what I lack. And they asked, can any forbid water? None could. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord. That means by his authority. And so what do we see here as the Gentiles are ushered into the kingdom of God? They come under the same criteria. They come under the same stipulation. They must hear, they must believe, they must repent, they must confess, and they must submit to baptism. Why? That is how one is brought into Christ. That is how one puts on Christ, Galatians 3:27, and that's why one is buried into his death